Feeling better, looking better, making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Tell me about your thoughts on that feeling that you have there of loving and feeling like comedy is an important element in your own life. Are you around comedy all the time? On the weekends, do you entertain and tell wild stories and meet incredibly wonderful theatrical friends and all the time? And, you know, what is your life like that may have led into some of your insights in the book and stories?
In nothing like what you just described. my favorite kind of comedy that I like to reflect and that I try to always remember to write down are the things that people say to you and the encounters that you just have on an everyday basis. My son was reading to me from a journal. He's 16 now, and he was reading his journal. Like, what's that? Was like an assignment or something he had in elementary school, and it just cracked me up. He was writing book reviews. We had to do book reviews. And his book review, he said, "I'd rather eat my shoe than read Snow White. It's terrible." I just thought, oh, my God. I would love to publish the children writing terrible reviews of children's books. I don't know. It just cracked me up. I'd rather eat my shoe than read Snow White. That, to me, I don't know. That just really cracked me up. So I live a pretty, I get up at 6:45, make breakfast, drive my son to school while he insults me, and work on the right insurance all day. Right? I have great friends and everything, but it's the little things people say to you and that you hear. That's where I think I find the most humor. And that's what, so that's why it's good not to wear earbuds, you know, all the time. It's really important to listen to what the world around you, because that's where you get really funny things. People talking to you. That to me is gold.
Annabelle, you've started over 50 TV series and have met incredible people. Isn't that an influence with why you are the way you are now?
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that. I've had the great fortune to work with some amazing people, including Candace Bergen and Jeff Garland and Ann Mirror and Bob Odenkirk. So many great talents, Tim Allen, Bill Maher, all these amazing people who I think are all funnier than me. So I don't know, maybe, you know, there is something about maybe comedy being a little bit contagious, but the thing that I think has rubbed off on me more than anything else, I would say, though, is how hard everybody that I know works. I think some people think that people in, you know, show business don't work very hard, and that is one thing that I have definitely, if anything, have picked up, and that is the work ethic of everyone that I know who I respect. And that is something that I definitely have picked up, and I'm a really hard worker. You know, I work really hard on trying to make sentences and trying to mine everything I'm writing, you know, for the most comedy. And everybody that I know, like, Bill Maher, such a hard worker. He's so disciplined. And I really respect that. And I think, if anything, I've picked up the work ethic of those people. That's the one thing I'll say. Comedy, I'll leave that to other people to say. If any of it's rubbed off on me, definitely my husband. He was really funny. His comedy maybe has rubbed off on me. And again, another person who works so hard, such a great work ethic. I don't know that people realize that. Like, my husband worked with Ben Stiller and Judd Apatow for many years. And they are still such hard workers. J- Jeff just attended a table read, a read-through with the cast of the new Zoolander movie. There's going to be a sequel. And he said he had just never heard anything funnier in his life. So funny. Justin Theroux wrote the script. All these amazing people, including Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, Fred Armisen, Kristen Wiig, all these amazing people in it. And the next day, they went and did a comedy punch-up session. He's like, I have no idea how they could make it funnier. He said, but they're working on it, you know, that they just leave no stone unturned. Never done. Always working to make, what can be funnier? Well, how do we look at it? Just, that is something people may not even realize. It's not like, oh, it's so funny the first time. No. Just working on it.
Imagine that we're at a halftime of the life game here, and it's important that I stress that question because I'm wondering at the halftime here, what are you most proud of your career so far? And maybe this book is the answer, which would be a good answer.
That is, you're absolutely right. And I say that because I'm so proud of all the work I've got to do as an actress over so many years. I am really proud of my son, who's a great kid. And I am trying always to be a better person and, you know, contributor. And I get very excited to vote. That, to me, is just one of the great pleasures and privileges of life in the United States. But in terms of my work, I am most proud of my book, and this book being my first book, it's not just a book that I edited or the book I did with my husband, which I really love, but my first standalone book, I'm really proud of it. When you write a book, everyone I know who writes books always says this to afterwards, you're like, I can't believe I wrote a book or another book. It's a crazy thing when you're sitting alone in your room and you're trying to write and tell a story and when people like it and you get back, and this one made the extended list of the New York Times bestseller, which means you get to say it's a New York Times bestseller. It's just tremendously exciting, you know, because I want to share this. I didn't write it, like I said, in my journal. I wrote it to be shared, and I'm really proud of it. And I want to keep getting to be a better and better writer. That is my goal all the time, is that my next thing is going to be my best thing. My next thing, I'm going to, you know, just keep working at the skill and the relatability. You know, when people tell me they relate to the book, that's the biggest praise I get is, oh, my gosh. I've had several people say, you wrote what's in my head. And I'm like, yes, I'm so happy, because I don't think I'm any kind of extraordinary person. I think I'm having an experience that so many of us are having. And the only act that I can do is write about it. And so I'm just going to try to keep getting to be a better and better writer. That's my goal.
So wonderful to hear that. Now, as we approach the second half here, what's the game plan? You know, what is really exciting for you to take on next, potentially?
Well, I'm adapting this book right now for television for the FX network. So that's really exciting to me, because that's a new challenge. And I have a great writing partner, Liz Chillo, who co-wrote He's Just Not That Into You. She's fantastic, and that's really fun to work together. We also happen to have gone to college together, so double fun there. Then I'm also adapting this work as a solo show, and I've been performing it along with doing author talks, and I'll be doing it as a show, hopefully by the end of this coming year, maybe in the spring, it'll start to launch. And that's also exciting. I love performing. It's really fun to be back on stage. And then I've got some other ideas for new books. So there is no rest for the people without inheritances.
I just can't wait to read the title of your next book. You know, with
that's the hardest thing.
Tomato, I say shut up. I mean, that was just so awesome. And you know, I see
husband.
You made an effort. That's deeper to me. You know, I see you made
an
effort.
We wanted it to be not just funny, but I was thinking I might have to pay my husband to come up with my next title because he's just so good at that.
I think something like, you know, the second half could suck or something. I don't know. You know, you need to.
I know there's a book by a comedian, and I'm going to get it wrong right now, but I'm going to look it up to see who it is because it's such a funny title. The title is "Please God, Let It Be Herpes."
That's wonderful.
That is just so funny.
Brilliant. Yes.
I'm going to just tell you who wrote that book because I really should know who that book is by. I can't not say. Okay, it's by Carlos Culkin. And everybody, let's get that book too, because it's what a great title. So I'm shooting for another title, really, like you say, tomato, I say shut up. But we shall see, because I just don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know what the next title is.
Tell us about your solo show. Where would you expect, you know, obviously in L.A., I would imagine, or are you going to try to take it out on the road?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be on the road. I don't know yet, but that is the goal. So
what would you imagine the format to be?
Me talking. I've already written it. I started to perform it. I just did it in Virginia, and I'll be up doing it in NIAC, but it's not officially out there yet. And it is, there's some music in it. I mean, I don't sing, but there's some visual, there's some slides, but it's really stories, and it's based on the book, but it's not the book. But I mean, that's going to take a little while to come out. So meanwhile, I hope people will get the book, enjoy the book, and find me on Facebook or on Twitter and tell me what they think. I just, you know, it's a funny thing. It is different than being an actress, where a book is a very personal experience when people are reading you. And so when you hear from your readers, it's really fun. It's really, really fun. And
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. Nothing. That's it.
With your books and your performance, do you ever feel pressure? And if so, how do you handle that pressure?
Oh God, so much pressure. That I put on myself. That, you know, I want to do well. I want to do the best job I can do, all that stuff. How do I handle it? I meditate. I exercise. My husband hears some complaining. You know, I talk to friends. There's just nothing like talking to your friends. I go to therapy, you know, the normal thing. But one of the things that I do feel like I have learned is to really reach out to my friends. That's another thing I think I've learned with age is that isolating, which is something I could do that does not help me. This does not work. But reaching out to people, because that is something I'm not someone who is afraid to say, I'm terrified, I'm afraid of it. You know, I think there's a lot of power in that. And everybody that I know who is really successful has said that to me at one point or another. And so I've found that it's really helpful to share those feelings and then to get some community around it. And that is something I didn't do. I had a lot more bluster as when I was younger. Now I'm like, I don't have that. You know, you have to have a certain confidence, but the confidence that I have when I have it comes from just putting in the work. I know I've put in the work. I know I'm putting in the work, and that's all I can do is work as hard as I can. I'm actually a much harder worker now than I was when I was younger. And I do think that also that may be a product of age too, where you take your work more seriously because you get higher and higher standards. You know, you you're up against your last work, and every time you're trying to get better and better. And I don't know anyone who is lazy in that way. I don't.
Speaking of setting the bar high, your husband is an award-winning, as an Emmy award-winning individual. When are you going to win your first Emmy award? And is that one of your goals?
It looks like never. I'll just say this. I mean, look, I hope I can turn this book into a TV show. There's a phrase for it, and I can't remember what someone said to me recently about when you get into trouble is when you're working for the award and not, there's a phrase people talk about in show business, and I can't, it's sort of like a sports thing when you're going for the hoop instead of playing the game when you're, there's something like that, but I just don't think about that. I just try to do the best work I can. I really and truly, I used to plan the award speeches when I was younger. I don't do that anymore. That does not, that doesn't help you get them, I don't think. And it's not a good use of time. Unless it's going to be funny and I'm going to publish it somewhere.
On behalf of so many fans, I think, that are probably listening to this, just thank you for all your greatness and for being on the show today and for all you've done with comedy and making us smile a little bit wider.
Oh, thank you so much. And here, for anyone who's smiling a bit wider, who's my age, can you believe how horrible root canals are? That's something I had no idea. That's one people would say, would you have any advice to people who were younger? Yes. Floss more. Just floss more. Floss more and your life will be better later. Thank you so much. This has been really fun. And I look forward to hearing from listeners and seeing what they think of the book. That'd be awesome.
Terrific. And how do you want people to get a hold of you? And who would you like to get a hold of you?
Oh, I would love people to go out, get the book, and then find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, and it's all just, even if you don't write my name and spell it correctly. I didn't spell my name right on Twitter, and I got stuck with a Twitter handle where my name was spelled wrong. I just can't even, it's so dumb. But you can find me there. If you go to my website, AnnabelleGurwitch.com, you can see if I'm coming to a city near you. And I'm just like the easiest person to find. And I do try to write people back if they tell me they've liked the book or something they liked in it. And it's just fun. At first, I really resisted all that stuff, but I'm like, oh, you know what? It's really fun. And sometimes people who are following me on Twitter will come to an event, and I'll recognize their name. That's really fun to put in. You know what I mean? That's crazy. It's crazy fun when you get to meet people you only know on Facebook and Twitter at your events. But mostly, because I love books, I hope people will, even if they don't want to talk to me, want to read the book and get a kick out of my writing.
Well, it's just once again been a pleasure having you on the show. So thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Byron. Take care.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. NameJet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, NameJet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to NameJet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. NameJet.com. ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers. Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here. InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're here with Jen Bick. Jen, welcome.
Thanks, Byron.
So, Jen, it's just nice to hear your voice, Jen. I tend to smile every time I hear it. Tell me a little bit about how the freelance writing industry has changed in your mind from your perspective in the last few years.
Well, it's gotten quite a bit larger. And I really only started freelancing full-time really just the last couple years. I worked full-time between then and did the odd job here and then. So I can't really say from an insider's perspective how it's changed, let's say, in the last, you know, 5-10. But just from talking with other people that have done it, you know, there's definitely more competition. There's more people out there that think that they can be freelance writers, mm-hmm. which has posed some interesting challenges for those people in the industry. Mm-hmm. And there are more websites out there that kind of act as hubs for freelance jobs, people looking for freelancers, as well as people that can perform that capacity, even in not just writing, but also graphic design and programming and all kinds of different, mainly web-related ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How important is optimization, and how interesting or not interesting has it been for you to learn the game of peppering rich keywords and doing keyword research and creating titles and meta tags and meta descriptions? Where does that fit, you know, a great writer like you, how does that fit into your mold?
Well, it definitely fits in there now. I think when a lot of people started freelance writing, I think they viewed SEO as something that a programmer did and not something that really impacted them. They just provided the content and they didn't have to worry about things called meta tags and, you know, whatever. Now if you want to do a good job, if you want to add value to your clients, and if you want to show that there's actually a return on what you do, you have to be thinking about optimization, period. It kind of sucks if that's not what you went into freelancing to do, was to think about those kinds of the more scientific aspect, I suppose you might want to say, about writing, or the, you know, like the hard numbers bit about writing for websites. But now if you want repeat business and you want your clients to do well, you definitely have to think about how the words that you place there and, you know, whatever kind of like linking strategies you use are going to improve traffic to that site and improve the chance of that client hiring you back, because that's what they're mainly looking for.
We're really find it interesting. You're one of a few writers at Idea Launch that, of course, we work with. We work with quite a few writers at Idea Launch, but in comparison to Writer Access, where there are literally, I think there's over 1,000 writers now that have put in their profiles and registered over there. What's your take on working with Idea Launch and the freelance assignments you're getting from there and what's happening over there? Do you think we have a good model over there? And how has Word Vision, how have you found Word Vision to be to work with over there? Because that's, you know, not every agency out hiring freelance writers has them use this crazy tool, Word Vision. You know,
yes,
how's that fitting into your program? What do you think of that tool?
Because
what's that?
I mean, for a lot of writers, SEO and like keyword strategies isn't our main capacity. It's not what we all went to school for. It's, you know, a lot of people started writing on a non-online basis and then transferred their skills onto the online world. And so a lot of people recognize that they need to have, you know, SEO and a real science to what they do, but they don't necessarily know how to do it. And so with Word Vision programs like it, you know, you have the tools right there that you can just sort of plunk in your work and see how it stacks when it comes to its searchability and its optimization, and that helps you hugely in making sure that what you're doing actually is effective for your client on that level. You know, you still have to be able to write in an engaging way, in a conversational way. You know, it's not about, you know, just putting in keywords and having them show up. You're not going to attract anyone or keep anyone that way. But when you work with an agency like Writers Access and you have those kind of tools at your disposal, they're pretty priceless, I'd say. And it is definitely unique. I do work with some different companies and a few different freelancing hubs, and you do have that level of support, you know, so that to help you, to help your client. So it's an all-around great tool, and that's definitely what has been a great appeal to me for writersaccess.com.
What are some improvements that you think need to be made overall in the freelance world? What are the next new age of representation of writers and or finding companies that you're interested in working for? Do you like the model of Writer Access where matter of fact, we just opened up Writer Access to make anyone now be able to post a job over there, free of charge, actually. We know we can't keep 1,000 writers busy all day, every day.
right.
And really, we really wanted to create more of an open source environment to allow anybody in the world to go connect with writers like you and find them on Writer Access. So we also are competent enough in our own strategic abilities at Idea Launch that we just want to be a client of Writer Access, and when we need to write, you know, access great writers. But where would you like to see a company like Writer Access go? Some of the choices, to give you some hints as to what we've been thinking about, are things like, you know, SMS text messages when somebody wants to hire you, sort of a try before you buy insurance plans. So a prospect client would make a deposit into Writer Access so you know for sure you'd get paid if they ask you for a test trial. You know, what have you always wished for out there, you know, that we might be able to accommodate, or somebody else listening might be able to build a better model than Writer Access? Who knows? But in that model over there, what is interesting for you that you could imagine would really be cool and make you excited about Writer Access?
I find that some of the bigger challenges with some of the freelance hubs or websites out there is that it is such a free market of people that are looking for things and people that are offering things that it's tough sometimes. In particular, I think, for a North American writer to get paid what they're valued at. Just because, and there are fantastic writers from all over the world, but they live in areas where there's a lower cost of living, and so they can compete at a much lower dollar value. Mm-hmm. And yet writers companies are still looking for someone that can speak conversationally, can really get the like pop culture vibe of today to really connect with the North American audience, but they're sometimes comparing this to prices that you couldn't live off of in North America that other people are offering, and it's definitely not a slam against anyone that can offer prices in that way.
Yeah,
but it's set a really odd perception of what writing is valued at. So, you know, there's, as far as what a company can offer, I think a lot of it is actually even educating clients about, you know, what would you value someone that's writing your website at? You know, what is your website worth to you? and maybe even imposing certain minimums. You know, I see it every day where people want, you know, a blog post for 5 cents or,
yeah,
you know, they want to see, you know, articles for a dollar or whatever. And they're really focused on keywords. They're not focused on content, but then they complain when the content isn't the conversational, wonderful thing that they think all articles should be. So it's a really tough balance. And if there's a way to better educate clients, to understand the value of good writing and good content, you know, whether it's even just like the Twitter Twitters that go out or the daily blog, that kind of thing, it really does have a huge impact on your business reputation, and people don't seem to want to pay for it. So any way that you can spread the word through a freelance site would be helpful, I think, from the writer's perspective anyway.
It's been great chatting with you today, Jen. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Byron. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Look forward to seeing you next week on the Life Tips Show. Hope you're less a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and a lot more funny, thanks to Annabelle. See you next week.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.